Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Trinity United Methodist Church of Seymour, Indiana, on this glorious Easter morning, the greatest Sunday on the entire church calendar. I want to thank George Ann Koontz for playing for us today and inspiring us with the playing of our traditional opening hymn of praise, Christ the Lord is risen today. This Easter radio broadcast is sponsored by Dee Hess in honor of her daughter Heather's birthday. Thank you, Dee. If you have your Bible handy, you can follow along with this morning's scripture reading from Matthew 27, verses 62 to 66, which will follow our special music and then will lead into today's message. Our special music this morning is simply entitled Easter Song.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that we can be born again. Hear the bells ringing, they're singing, Christ is from the dead. The angel upon the tombstone said he is risen, just as he said. Quickly now go tell his disciples that Jesus Christ is no longer dead.
Now for our scripture reading this morning from Matthew 27, verses 62 through 66, the end of chapter 27. This occurs the day after Jesus has been crucified and buried. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he had been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard. Let us join in prayer. Father Almighty, only you could have surprised everyone with your plans for that Sunday morning. And even though we might be quite familiar with the resurrection story, reinforce our faith in a Savior who conquered death and lives again for our sake. We pray in the name of the one whose resurrection has made all the difference for us. Amen. If there's anything you could say about the religious authorities, the chief priests and the Pharisees, is that they were thorough. They had made absolutely sure that Jesus would be condemned to death. They made sure that he would be crucified. But on this day after the crucifixion, they remembered that he had said something about being raised from the dead after 3 days. And so they needed to put an end to Jesus' story once and for all. They needed to nip in the bud any idea that there would be a resurrection. They couldn't do it themselves, so they had to go to Pontius Pilate for his help. Now, according to the religious authorities, it was bad enough that there were some people in Jerusalem believing that Jesus had been the Messiah. For him to actually be said to have come back from the dead would have been even worse. So they went to Pilate, and they asked him for soldiers in order to guard the tomb. Well, I'm sure these soldiers weren't too excited about this task. It sounded pretty easy, though. So they went with the religious authorities out to the tomb where Jesus had been buried. And even though it doesn't say so in Scripture, I'm pretty sure that they checked the tomb. They probably had the soldiers move the stone. The authorities went in to make sure the body was still there. And once they were convinced there was no other way to take him out but through the entrance, the soldiers moved the stone back into place. We're told that they secured the tomb. This was probably done by stringing a rope across the entire stone and then attaching it to wax seals on the tomb surface. This way it would be very obvious if anybody had moved the stone. Once the authorities felt that they had the tomb secure, they left the soldiers there to prevent anybody from tampering with it. So for the next hours or several days, the soldiers stood guard and they watched for the disciples. Meanwhile, the disciples watched for soldiers to come and arrest them. We're told that the disciples of Jesus were isolated in someone's home. They were in fear of their lives. And they were uncertain how long they would be in danger. Does that sound at all familiar to today? Isolated? In fear? Uncertain? I think we can relate. But these disciples were men who had been with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane just a few days before. And when the authorities came then, the soldiers, they ran. They didn't stick around. Not only did they run away from Jesus at the garden, we know of only one who dared to come near the cross when he was dying on that Friday afternoon. This was a group of men huddled inside a home, sad, confused, and afraid. They had no intention to make a heroic retrieval of their master's body. But the authorities wanted to be sure. They knew it'd be crazy, but they wanted to be sure Jesus' story was over. It's at this point in the story that I would ask a question. Why would the disciples have chosen to risk their lives to steal his body in the first place? If they managed to do it at all, they would have to have reburied him somewhere else. And then they would have gone out and falsely claimed that he was alive. If they did that, what good would that do? What good would it do to falsely claim that Jesus lived again? The disciples still wouldn't have his leadership. They still wouldn't have his power to do miracles. They still wouldn't have his teaching authority to amaze the crowds. They still wouldn't have any courage. And definitely they wouldn't have any proof to show the people. If you think about it, the empty tomb proved nothing. Because many people were probably like Thomas. You remember Thomas's story? He came a week later and he didn't believe what the disciples said to him. He required proof. Nothing was going to change in his life unless he saw for certain that Jesus was alive again. And most everybody would probably be the same way. If the disciples claimed Jesus alive, they'd say, prove it. Show us something that proves He's alive. Not just an empty tomb, but show us He's alive. And then I can imagine if the religious authorities clamped down on the disciples. They certainly would not choose to die for a lie. There is probably one among those disciples that would have finally said, I'm not giving up my life for something I know is not true. I'm not going to risk my family. I'm not going to suffer for something that isn't true. I think the disciples in that house seemed to understand it would have been a pointless effort to steal His body. What good would it have done? How would it have changed anything? So there in that home, the disciples are watching for soldiers who never came, just as the soldiers were watching for disciples that never came. As those soldiers watched at the tomb, they actually removed the only rational explanation for Sunday morning and what happened. There was no other way to explain that the stone still was moved, that the body still disappeared. There was nothing they could say. There was no rational explanation because they were the living proof. In fact, they went back to town after everything happened on Sunday morning, wanting to share a story that the disciples had stolen the body and overtaken Roman guards. But everyone knew that couldn't have been the truth. So Jesus, the risen Jesus, chose to meet His disciples that day. And where did they meet Him? In a home. There in the home. Now, friends, despite us not being together on this Easter morning, despite the fact that we're not enjoying a wonderful breakfast together, despite the fact that we're not here in a sanctuary with the smell and the beauty of Easter lilies, Jesus still makes house calls to us in our homes who may be sad at what's going on around us today, who may be confused, who may be afraid. The risen Jesus meets us where we are. And that news changes everything. In fact, it changed the life of a man I want to tell you about here, a man named Alfred Ackley. Alfred was born in 1887 in Pennsylvania. Even though he became as a young man a very good musician, he met Jesus, he gave his life to Christ, and he decided to spend his life in service. So he went to seminary, became ordained as a Presbyterian pastor. In fact, Alfred served churches in Pennsylvania, as well as all the way out to California. But all during his pastorate, he continued to love music. He actually wrote hymns and hymn tunes. It's said that he had written over 1,000 hymns, hymn tunes and hymns throughout his career. Well, about the year 1933, Reverend Ackley was leading an evangelistic meeting. He had just finished at the end, met people who had come up front to give their lives to Christ. And then one of the last ones to come up to Reverend Ackley was a young Jewish student. He had been coming to the meetings, but he finally had the nerve to come up to Reverend Ackley and say to him at the end of the service, "Why should I worship a dead Jew?" Reverend Ackley's response, as he recalls it, is this: "He lives. I tell you, he is not dead, but lives here and now. Jesus Christ is more alive today than ever before. I can prove it by my own experience, as well as the testimony of countless thousands. I don't know if Reverend Ackley convinced this young student to worship this dead Jew. But when Reverend Ackley went back to his home that night, the encounter stuck in his mind. And he kept thinking about the fact that, yes, he lives. He is alive. And so it inspired him to just start writing. And he began writing his thoughts about his proof that Jesus lives. By the end of the night, he had written another hymn. It's one that we sing often in worship on Easter or close to Easter. It's a song simply entitled, He Lives. All because one young man wanted to know how he could know that this Jesus lived. If you look at his song, you can see he provides the evidence of Jesus' presence. In his song, Reverend Ackley speaks about how I see his hand of mercy, how I see his loving care. Reverend Ackley speaks about how I hear his voice talking to me. I hear words of cheer. Reverend Ackley speaks about how he feels Jesus near in his heart. My friends, some of you listening may not be sure this morning, like that young Jewish student, that he lives. What I would ask you to do is to look at the testimony of the Scriptures and then consider the change that occurred in the disciples' lives. They went from horribly afraid to absolutely fearless. Then look at the testimonies of those who have met Christ throughout history. Read what they have to say about how their lives changed because they met their Savior. And then I would dare say today, ask any Christian you know. Ask them, why do you think Jesus is alive? What has he done that's changed your life, that's made a difference to you? Whether you are still unsure if he lives, or whether you are absolutely sure this morning and want to celebrate, let Jesus make a house call on you this morning and see just how your life can change. See what can happen when you know that he lives, that he lives in you, that he walks with you. Truly, Jesus is alive again. Truly, he lives. And he lives to bring us hope and bring us life. Will you pray with me? Our gracious God, we are so thankful for what occurred on that Easter morning. We thank you for the good news that he is alive and that now we can live a life of courage, a life of contentment, a life of peace, a life that has meaning now because he has come and made all the difference. Lord, I pray if there are some this morning who are still searching, who are still wondering why these people worship a dead Jew, I pray that you would speak to their hearts, that you lead them on that quest to know you, to find you. I know you're already reaching out to them. Show them, offer them the proof in the lives of his followers that they have met the risen Christ, that they know he lives, that they celebrate this day of days. For those of us, Lord, who already know the truth, who feel that Christ is alive and is walking with us and living in us, Lord, continue to be with us. Not that we have to be in a sanctuary on this beautiful day, but that you make our homes sanctuaries. that you allow them to be holy places where we can meet you, celebrate this day, and give our praise and honor to you. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for us, for this day that reminds us that we belong to Christ because he lives now and forever. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to pray. And especially on this morning, we pray as Jesus taught us long ago to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll close our Easter worship this morning with the singing of that song of good news, He Lives. If you have a copy of that song, please join us wherever you are in sharing your faith that truly Christ lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever foes may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way.
I know.